welcome one, welcome all, step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 163 is coming at you right now. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, you can check out www.dicetowernetwork.com. You can find us, The Portal, at www.theportalct.com. We are a store located in Manchester, Connecticut. Also on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. That's where you'll find me, your host for this episode, The Brant. Howdy, everybody. This is episode 163. It's a Marvel Champions content creator portal. So, content creator panel. So I've got all these awesome people. If you're listening to the podcast, you can go and check out the YouTube channel, Step Into the Portal, and you'll see this posted there. If you're on the channel, then realize we also have the podcast feed where generally you'll find me reviewing game after game after game. But this episode is solely focused on Marvel Champions. And I brought in some YouTube content creators here, so I'm just going to go around. First up, we have Peter G from the One Stop Co-op Shop channel.
Hello, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you.
No problem.
Excited to be here.
Yes, definitely. And then Dale from Dale the Casual Gamer. You could check him out on YouTube as well.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. And finally, up below me in the bottom right square is Steve from Beat the Game.
Howdy, everyone, from Montreal, Canada.
There you go. Nice. Awesome. Well, it's great to have everybody here. I'm going to have you go around and just introduce your channel and what you're doing there and Marvel Champion stuff and other things. So we'll go in that same order. Go ahead, Peter.
All right, so we are one-stop co-op shop, but if you want to see our Marvel content, you really want to go to our stream channel, which is our live stream content. The main channel is more like recorded playthroughs, recorded reviews. So I go live with Marvel Champions all the time. I definitely do every Friday. So to find our stream channel, it's one-stop co-op shop streamed. And you definitely have to put the word streamed in there, and you still might not find us because one-stop co-op shop is so popular compared to the streaming stuff. But for the stream channel, we're there every single Friday. We also do a podcast on cooperative games as well, and we've definitely talked Marvel Champions quite a bit there. But every time there's a new set that comes out, I try to play the new stuff live, kind of as a way to share my excitement live about new packs that I'm opening and just see it there live. So I avoid spoilers, too. We talked about that a little in the pre-show. But yeah, I try to keep everything pretty fresh when we're over there.
Awesome. Dale, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Dale the Casual Gamer. Basically, I play lots of different games, but I have highlighted Marvel Champions basically every Marvel Monday. I try to get one solo playthrough going out, highlighting new stuff, just different deck builds, some things people request. Like I said, I'm all over the place in gaming, so sci-fi, fantasy, and superhero type stuff.
Steve.
All right, well, I'm Steve from Beat the Game. Basically what my channel is looking at to do is just finding creative new ways to play the game, diving deep into strategies in every aspect. And just basically I'm fanboy turned into content creator because of COVID. So, and now almost at topping the six bills for 10 away from 600 subscribers. So I'm like, yay.
Nice.
It's working. It's going up there. And I'm exclusively for Marvel Champions right now, but I have expanded. I'm doing it in English, and now I'm doing it in French, and I might actually start doing it in Spanish for the Spanish community as well.
So yeah, that's such a cool angle. That's so neat.
Yeah.
In terms of all that. So yeah, our channel Step Into the Portal, and it totally happened because of COVID too. This is the 163rd episode of the podcast, which started out bi-weekly, then we were weekly, then monthly. It's been all over the map, but it's like over six years I've been doing the podcast now, and we're with Dice Tower. So I've done so much when I travel to conventions and things working with all of them, and I'm used to playing this stack of games behind me and trying to get one to three plays of everything so I can talk about it. And then suddenly in 2020 I played games over and over, like 10-15 times, and one of those games that I found I loved playing so much was Marvel Champions. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't tracked plays, but I wouldn't be surprised if I played 1,000 times by now.
Yeah, so, it's easy to do once you get into it.
So I guess our main focus is live streaming. I can't believe how much I like that, but I've always been that. Like, I like a live concert versus the studio album, all that stuff. So I like the fact that, hey, I'm going to make rules mistakes and the community is going to be with me while I'm doing things and interacting with people. And I really, really like reviewing games, but I was surprised how much I enjoyed getting on there. Now, I typically try to live stream with Larry, who's kind of the co-host who's usually with me as well. And that adding that banter between us is also really fun. So you get some of that element of not just one person, but often when I'm home here, I have the home studio and I do that with myself or my wife or daughter will play with me as well. So there's all those things. Awesome. Let's just start out with what you most enjoy. Anybody can jump in here. What do you most enjoy about Marvel Champions? What brings you back over and over again?
I'll start. I mean, for me, this is one of the rare games that I love playing solo and with a group. A lot of games is kind of like either like the solo or with some games needs to be 2, 3, or 4 people. So I just like it. All player counts. This game seems to work. And just every month getting a new content and the creators over at FFG giving us heroes that play totally different. So like the people we saw the first time versus now what we're seeing with Quicksilver and Ant-Man and Wasp, just all the different ways of playing, even the villains. I mean, what they did with Kang was just totally different way to play. So that's what really drags me into this.
Nice.
Peter, I'll let you go and I'll finish up.
Okay. Well, I am I'm actually the opposite of Dale. I started playing because I could play it solo. It was one of the few games that I like playing solo. As you can tell by the name of our channel, we mostly do co-op stuff. We usually like playing with other people, love that interaction. But I got into this one because it was really good solo and I just kept playing it solo and I really enjoyed it. And then when COVID hit, I didn't have my normal game nights. And one of our fans, actually, from our Discord channel, his name is Terrence, he started playing and said, hey, we should start playing together online. And so he and I started playing online, and then we just started streaming it, and it built from there. So I really love how the game plays two-player. I'm not brave enough to play two-handed solo. I always play one-handed solo, but there's definitely some swinginess there. So I love how two-player feels as well. If I'm in the mood for a quick game, I'll just whip out a quick solo game. But if I really want to, strategize and banter back and forth with somebody, I love how it works two-player as well. So, it's amazing how quickly you can get to 1,000 plus games of this because it's so quick to set up, so easy to play, and just really dive headfirst into it.
Nice.
Yeah, and for me, it's not only the replayability, but it's all of the strategy and the deck building. That is what gets me. I started playing Magic the Gathering a long time. I had never really played in those deck building previously before Magic. I think my first one was the DC from Cryptozoic, DC deck builder. That was my introduction to deck building. And I was like, oh, it's good. It was a little simple. And then I found Legendary, which I thought was added new complexity. And I enjoyed the co-op with a little bit of competition, but the immersion that I felt after my first game playing Marvel Champions hooked me. I was just like hook, line, and sinker. There was nothing. And I'm very expressive. I used to be an entertainer on cruise ships and everything. And I was playing these characters and I'm like, all right, web kick. And I'm like, and I'm just like pretending to be the characters as I'm playing and just really like embodying these characters over and over and just in the different aspects. What I love about it is because the way I'm going to be playing this character, whether it be aggressive or it be protective, is going to be completely different. Some of the signature moves are the same, which kind of reflects the character, but the way I'm approaching the game is always going to be different depending on what I choose to play. And that is what keeps me coming back for more.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I guess part of it too is just like there is intricate deck building, but there's also really easy deck building. Like it could kind of be either way, right? You could just kind of shuffle some cards together and go, but then you could really try to get to those challenging things of like, how can I get there? So it feels like I get that deck building without being like, I have to spend all this time, constructing a deck. And the asymmetry of the characters, by far my favorite spot. I mean, some of my favorite board games, Gloomhaven, Gaia Project, or Terra Mystica, Root, where if any of you played any of those games, they're very focused on asymmetry, characters that are very different. And I mean, it's awesome when you're playing and you're like, oh, Spider-Man feels like Spider-Man, but Captain America feels like Captain America, right? In terms of all that. So I really like that. And then I think, yeah, the other joy is like, I love games where when I'm teaching, because I really like to teach, where I can say yes to people. And this game has that. Like, wait, so I can flip to my other side every turn and I can still use my attack or my thwart and I can still play these cards from my deck, right? Like, or from my hand, like, yeah, that's awesome. Like spinning web kick is not my only attack for that round, right? And I guess I'm focused on Spider-Man right now. I can also punch with Spider-Man or whatever it is, right? So it's like, it makes you feel like you did this cool maneuver. Like there's a lot of things to do, or you can just kind of sit back and build up like allies, and the different aspects really do bring those things out in terms of all that stuff. So
I think that's neat. Superhero games that make you feel like a superhero, and it does a really good job. You know, you'll have turns where you're building up, but you'll also have turns where you have that cool, you know, web kick and attacking yourself, and you got three allies come along to help you with that attack. And so, yeah, you have these really epic rounds, and that makes it feel cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be able to do like, oh, we need to do 20 damage. Got it.
Right.
It feels awesome.
And you're playing Ms. Marvel.
Steve's favorite is Ms. Marvel. Who are some of your favorite heroes to play?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I really have a soft spot for the ladies. So Ms. Marvel, I just loved from the first time, even with all the bad publicity she got when people first didn't understand what the heck she was about, I understood this character and I'm like, wow, this mechanic, this is amazing. And I saw the future potential. And again, with everything else that's coming out, I'm just like, every time I bring Ms. Marvel, every time there's a new pack, every event I'm looking at it, well, that's a Ms. Marvel card. Well, that's a Ms. Marvel card. Yeah, that is definitely going into Ms. Marvel. And I'm like, oh my God, everything just blows out of proportion with this character, which I love everything about her. But I really enjoy every character. Like seriously, Ms. Marvel is my like my sweetheart, but I enjoy every character. Maybe not Doctor Strange. The one I actually enjoy the least is actually Doctor Strange. I find him just too easy. And like, I don't like the feeling like, yes, I'm omnipresent. Yes, he's got these cool events. But I feel like I have to challenge myself to make him interesting. I'm like, I play him without the magic most of the time. As Brad, like we played a couple of games. Like, yeah, Doctor Strange, forget the invocation at home. I'm like, just play him. And that's
funny. I feel that way about Captain America. I typically tend to stay away from it, and leadership in general. We'll get into that later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I tend to stay away from leadership, and I tend to stay away from Captain America because of the same thing. I feel like Cap's really good. And maybe, again, I play a lot of times with just decks out of the box. Now, again, for the stream, a lot of times I'll deck construct, but I don't mind playing my decks right out of the box and not doing the deck building because I think it's more of a challenge to play that way a lot of times. But yeah, a lot of times that also leads me away from playing Captain America because I'm just like, yeah, you're real good out of the box.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my like my first game experience that I've been recording is always the pre-cons versus expert scenarios versus something challenging. Yeah. I like to go against Claw on my first game because he comes at you so many different ways.
Yep. But
even like Black Widow, I'm like Black Widow base, like her pre-con versus expert Ultron and just make them whiff. And they're like, how do you do that? Well, just take the time, calculate your moves. And there's always a solution.
All right, Dale, how about you, man?
Yeah. Captain America. I'm the opposite. I mean,
great.
I mean, even before the game came out, I was like, ooh, Captain America, that's the hero, my go-to. And just his play style for me, putting him with aggression. I know a lot of people like him with leadership, but just he fits my play style. Now, for I want to have fun, I like Black Widow just because she plays totally opposite. It's her turn, and she doesn't really do much. She's prepping, and she responds on the villain turn. So I like that. Ant-Man, I love the flipping back and forth, the mechanics there. And, of course, now with Quicksilver, it's just, well, good grief, how many times can I ready him and hit for 5 damage a turn? So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Black Widow fan myself. I like to build up. I like to play defensive. I like to have, like, 50 cards in front of me. And, like, then, like, I feel like I'm in total control of everything going on. But I still like those moments, of course, that also is like, oh, my gosh, even with all this, I'm, like, 2 health away from dying, you know? So I like that she's super powerful. But then you want to flip with her a lot. But at the same time, every time I flip, I'm like, wait, I can't use half the cards that are sitting in front of me to prevent what they're doing. I forgot about that. No. So, yeah. So I just like, for me, she is the one that I flip with the most. And that really gets me excited to play the game, right? You know, is I think that's one of the coolest aspects of the game. And I tend not to flip a lot, or at least try not to flip a lot with a lot of heroes. And with her, I kind of feel like I have to. And so she presents the neatest puzzle for me when it comes to that. But there are a lot of other heroes I like too. I love Hawkeye is probably my second favorite. I mean, he just does so much damage. But then, then they attack him and he's like, oh, no, watch out. There's nothing I can do about any of this.
Nice. Well, I definitely was a Miss Marvel fan, but I recently went back to play a lot of Captain Marvel, and that she's my character. I love Captain Marvel so much. The card draw, where you're just constantly like, yeah, I got all these cards. And the way she can use lightning like so effectively to heal and to do that big blast. And she uses the lightning for the photonic blast, like all that stuff. It's just so awesome trying to figure out how to get through her cards and rotate through and get lots of card draws. So she's been really fun, but I've been surprised how much I've enjoyed Wasp. I really like Wasp, and that Ant-Man was just so much fun, right? He came out. Yeah. It was fun to flip back and forth. Oh, I get more cards and this and that. Oh, I can stay alive and I heal from this. But Wasp doesn't do that. She flips down very often, and that mechanic to put cards back in is really, really powerful, especially how she's event focused. Yeah. And so it's really interesting to me because events can feel like they clog up your deck sometimes, but when they let you recur them, that feels really neat. And then I like how she's like a kitchen sink or whatever, like, oh, I could flip to this side of Wasp for these, or I could flip to this side of Wasp for that, you know, for her hero. And I've really enjoyed her. I actually had a blast. I think we played a game, Steven, 4 player, and I was like the healer, and I really felt like a healer, like a World of Warcraft style healer. Like I was just healing everybody, enduring everybody, and just, hey, I'll keep everybody alive. I got it. More than like protect, block, 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 block. Right. It was more heal, 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 heal. And that was great. I just hadn't seen that aspect. So she's been really fun. So those have been 2 of my favorites.
So you love the girl action, right?
G-I-R-L is what I always say in terms of all that. All right. So what do you think like content brings to the community? What do you enjoy about your content? And maybe even focus on the specific like way you do your content, whether it be live or tabletop simulator, or you read the text on every card or whatever it is. Tell us about what you feel about like making content and what that brings to the community, what you like doing with that, all that kind of stuff.
Want to go first?
Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Well, one of the things I liked about the whole community and the content creator, like Dale, I much appreciated because you're the first guy I actually watched playing this game. And I was looking at your playthrough and I was like understanding. And then I saw a little bit of Team Covenant, but I just couldn't spend 8 hours watching them. Like I said, they're super fun. The banter is awesome, but it's just so long sometimes. And I love it, but I'm like, I can't spend 4 hours, 5 hours. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, yeah, cool. But
I asked one of them to join, but they were just too busy because they also run that whole business. So they just said,
yeah, I
have time to join us. But I did ask them.
No, but Steven's a great guy. I haven't spoken to Zach yet, but Steven's a super fun guy to talk to. And it's very fun. Like what I enjoy about this, and I actually take the time to go and watch a lot of other content creators' videos to understand how they see the game and what they're coming from. And this is why I started my channel at first. I'm like, oh, no one's doing heroic. So to beat the game, I'm just going to play heroic games. But then these games kind of tend to drag on and everything. So I kind of evolved. And then after everyone's kind of doing the same thing, I'm like, what can I do that is different? What can I bring to the community that is not just a playthrough? And then when we started doing the achievements, and this is, how can we make these characters explode into something incredible? I don't know, Peter, if you saw this one, I'm sure you'd enjoy that, where I just take Hawkeye and shoot all 10 of his arrows in one turn.
Yes, I heard about that. I didn't get to see it, but I did hear about that.
Quite impressive.
So again, and a lot of people are like, well, you can't play that in a real game. I'm like, well, I'm playing a real solo game.
Right.
I'm doing this on expert. I'm doing the achievement and still winning the game. How is that different? Because a lot of people think like, well, that's not effective. That's, why would you do this? And like, because it's a different way to play. It's like, because
it's fun.
Zero damage. And I'm blocking every time against like these attacks that are a four attack villain and never taking any damage the entire game. No consequence damage, no retaliate, like no damage at all. And then playing a game like that. And then showing people that if you, there is more than just winning. There's a way to play this game that is just not like A plus B equals C. You can just kind of divert and just expand your horizon if you try new things, try something different. You know, what I hear a lot in the community is, I just use this guy in this aspect and that's it. And what I'm trying to showcase is like, look what you can do with this character if you try him out with something different. And then like people are like, how is that? I don't understand. Like, it doesn't work for me. And I'm like,
because well, you haven't played thousands of games the way, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you have to be an expert to pull stuff like that off. I mean, you really have to understand the intricacies of the rules and go in with that goal in mind, right?
That's exactly. So that's one of the things I started doing now is doing strategies. Like, let's talk about what is the strategy behind aggression? What kind of focus can you kind of line yourself into going into this? So I kind of started thinking about it and I'm like, well, the main focuses I see is like, either I'm going to go berserker and I'm just going to try to rush the villain with as much damage, or I can go more aggression Avengers support right now, what's available. And then I can use my ally, myself to just remove threat, and then use my Avengers to just deal massive amount of damage and just be like, that's fun. And again, that for every aspect. And what's fun about it is the more cards are released, the more strategies are going to be available and more lines of play. So you can kind of find better ways and more intricate ways to playing along these lines. And I'm going to be quiet now because I talked for like 2 minutes. So I think next.
I'm just going to ask you this because I don't know if you saw this, but on our channel, Terrence, who's the guy I play with on Fridays, he did a Black Panther deck where he did not play one upgrade or one Wakanda Forever the entire game. And he mostly stayed on his alter ego side.
I do have a nice game versus Expert Kang where I have She-Hulk and Captain Marvel both in alter ego the entire game.
Nice. Yeah, that's tough to do. I mean, you're obviously very ally heavy in those situations, but he was ally and ally upgrade heavy. So he used all his upgrade searching to find upgrades to put on his allies and boosted them.
In leadership, right? Keeping them
in
alive.
Leadership, of course. I mean, yeah, you have to.
You can't do that. That alter ego strategy, it works for Black Widow. It works for Captain Marvel. And Injustice, you can't do it with protection. You can't do it with aggression. You have to do it with... it's either protection either leadership or justice where you have a chance, and you don't have a chance with every character. It's only going to work with certain characters.
But, yeah, protection doesn't make any sense unless you're going to be healer like Dale. So, so Dale, why don't you tell us about your content?
Sure. I mean, before I started this channel, I mean, I volunteered at a game shop, probably like Brant does. Mm. I love demoing games. I mean, so many people try getting into the hobby. They go home, read a rule book, and just can't figure it out. So I always liked to say, all right, what game are you like to? I probably had it, or I'd buy it and teach them how to play. And so COVID hit around. Well, I started doing this before that, but really hit into it around COVID times. And I just like teaching the game and just interacting with other people like Steve and a lot of other creators will, you know, once they started coming in, it was like, well, what do you think of this? Have you tried that? I just like the communication in the community. So it's just fun to see how other people do it. Like I'll do a playthrough one way and someone will say, well, you should pitch this card in there and get rid of that one. So, I mean, it's a learning experience on both sides. That's the main part. I just like I'm not so much competitive. I just like sitting down and having the fun and win or lose. It's have a good time.
Yeah. It's so important.
What I really like about Dale's channel, it's so smooth. Like even your voice, Dale, it just reminds me of like, this is Motel 6 and we'll leave the light on for you. You know, that whole ad they used to have. And it's just so like, I know a lot of people, when people say like, oh, how should I learn the game? Like literally learn how to play. Everybody points to your channel because it's just, you read all the text. It's very visible. You know, when we're playing, we've often play top down two people. It's hard to read all the cards. You know what I mean? And we don't have like a card reader or anything, but yours, you just get this view where everybody can basically see the cards. You read the cards to everybody. And your play is so smooth. Like you play very even. It's really nice. It's like, and you just kind of get through everything. So it's very like, it's very nice. It's like calming to watch yours. Not like Steve's. Steve gives me anxiety. He's shaking the camera and screaming at people and screaming at himself. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's funny too, because the people that I play with on a regular basis thought, oh, you start a channel. This would be a good comedy. Because I mean, when I'm playing with a group, it's bad joke after bad joke or fun or whatever. It's like, well, you're straightforward. And it's like,
yeah,
it's hard to have fun playing a solo game that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So Peter, what made you pick Tabletop Simulator for your streaming?
Well, okay. So we've had our YouTube channel, the main YouTube channel, for a long time. And Steve, one of the guys in our group, there are six of us, they wanted to do more streaming stuff, more live stream stuff. And I never did anything for the main channel. I mostly focused on our podcast because I just didn't want to set up a big rig. I didn't want to like have to, you know, get the lights and all that stuff. Like it seemed like a lot. It seemed like I didn't want to learn how to video edit, although I've certainly had to do that over time. But when we started doing streaming, I started jumping on a couple of the streams, playing other games. Again, we do all co-op games, not just Marvel Champions. And I really started realizing how much I enjoyed it, how much I enjoyed the interaction with the community, how much I enjoyed playing with somebody else, but doing it in kind of a more like, I don't know, just out there way, you know, where everybody could just watch and join in. So I really enjoyed that. So then I started streaming. And so we started this whole other YouTube channel just because we were doing a lot of content and we were trying to build it up quickly. So we wanted to get a lot of things out there. And that's what brought me to Marvel Champions, because I was like, well, I know how to play this game. It's really hard to stream a lot of different stuff, new games every week. You have to learn the rules, all that stuff every time. So whenever I was like, gosh, we haven't put anything up for 2 or 3 days, I would just get on and start playing Marvel Champions again, right? Because I knew how to do it. And then it just kind of started building on itself. I think people started coming to the channel to watch the Marvel playthroughs and not just for the other stuff. And so we kind of had this dual personality now. But Terrence was a big part of it too. He, you know, he got me into playing two player more because I was mostly doing solo stuff. And he just comes at the game a lot differently. He's very much more like Steve over here, where he is very analytical about the game. He's like, oh, but you could tweak your deck this way and this way. And I'm just like, I'm just throwing stuff out there. Like, I got a defender's deck. I got every defender in it. That's my goal here, right? Like, I don't care about anything else. Like, I just want to have fun with it. I certainly want it to be competitive, right? I don't want to get, you know, face stomped every time. But at the same time, you know, I want it to be fun. I want it to be a fun experience. And so honestly, we've only been doing this for about 2 months. I mean, certainly our content's been out there for a long time, again, with the other YouTube channel and the podcast. We've been doing it over 4 years. But for the streaming specifically, we've only been doing it for a couple months now. So I'm still playing with my format a lot. I know, Steve, you said you played with a lot of different things to figure out how, you know, what was going to resonate. So certainly we're doing every Friday night. We kind of played through from the beginning. First one, we played Rhino, then we went to Claw, then we, you know, kept going through Ultron, then the Goblins, and now we're up to Red Skull. So we've been doing that pretty steadily Friday night, where we just bring different heroes each week. Sometimes we'll do team ups or whatever else. You know, when Ant-Man and Wasp came out, we wanted to make sure to feature those two, right? So Yeah. So, but I've been doing a couple other things recently, which I've really been having fun with. And again, for me, it's all about fun. So every time a new pack comes out, I have been playing it live for the first time, which really bummed me out because they still don't have the content for Scarlet Witch up. I had to find another TTS mod that had the Scarlet Witch stuff and import it to the mod that I've been playing, because I scheduled a stream yesterday for 11 a.m. to play Scarlet Witch because the mod I was using was really good at updating. But I had Scarlet Witch. I mean, I have her cards right here. I've been like holding on to it, like trying to get it to the table, but I refused to get it to the table until I played it, because I just wanted it to be live and like real reaction to me, you know, seeing all the cards for the first time and playing through it for the first time. So that's been good and tough, but I'm going to keep doing that. I don't know how well it's going to work when you have, you know, Galaxy's Most Wanted come out and I've got to play through a whole campaign for the first time without seeing anything. I don't know if I'm going to have that much self-control, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. But the other thing I just started, so yesterday when Scarlet Witch didn't come out, this is an idea that's been percolating in my mind. I said, I'm going to do something called Running the Gauntlet, where I'm going to build a deck and see how far I can take it. So I'm going to start on Expert and try to play through every villain on Expert. I lovingly called it my Hawkeye playthrough part one, thinking that hopefully I would make it past, you know, the first couple of villains. So I was going to try to do the whole thing on Expert. And then if I make it through, then start again at the beginning and, you know, bump it up to the next level as well, where you're getting two cards a turn. I don't even remember what that's called. Heroic, right.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm going to try. We'll see. And, you know, because you know as well as I do, luck plays a part of it sometimes too, right? So, you know, I just want to see how far these decks can go. If I play the same deck over and over, well, I get better and better at it and figure out ways out of different situations, because not every deck is great for every situation too.
Yeah,
that's tricky to build a deck that would play through all the villains and whatnot. So cool. So let's switch from content creation to just the game itself. So how do you feel about like balance of characters, balance of aspects? You were alluding a little bit to this before. And even the idea of like the basics, you can actually play like that. I know Steve was one that's kind of pushed some of that, the idea that you could have no aspect and just play all basics and plays pretty well. So what are people's impressions overall on like the balance of characters, balance of aspects, or how that affects your gameplay?
Well, I'll just go. So by far, I think in the game, as far as characters are defining by power level, I think if you're just playing standard or expert, most characters are extremely balanced, except for maybe Doctor Strange and Hulk, where you can definitely see the huge difference in like options. Not to say that Hulk is bad or Doctor Strange is like super OP, but it's just finding the weaknesses in their decks, even if it's just the pre-constructed decks, are just a little bit more apparent. Like I know for me, playing Hulk a lot and really trying to showcase what Hulk can do and everything has been a challenge. I remember when Thor came out and everyone's hating on Thor. Oh, he sucks and he's not good. And I'm like, no, man, there's a lot to do with how you approach the game and how you play the game. If you are just like going in for just damage all the time, right off the bat, it can work. I think it works 60, 70% of the time. Maybe that ratio is higher with a character, with a villain like Rhino, which doesn't have a lot of obstacles in your way. Mm. But once you get to a more complex villain, which is not the, like just Claw, just step it up from Claw to Rhino, where you start with a minion, you start with a side scheme. And if you ignore these things, well, that is where the game is going to get you. Even if you try to rush through him, yeah, you might pull through once or twice, but it's going to go back. Now, the other thing is like, well, I don't like this character. This character can't thwart or can't do this. He doesn't have a lot of this or that. A lot of people focus too much on the basic stats. The basic stats are just one aspect. The alter ego is another side of the game. There's a game within the alter ego side. There's a game with your stats. There's the game with the events. There's the game with how you can prepare yourself. So once you factor all of these things, you just kind of look at your hero in a whole new light, like, oh, wow, how is it possible that well, Steve doesn't have trouble going up against, you know, expert claw with Thor aggression, but he can't thwart. And there's all these schemes. Well, there's ways around it. You know, you've got
to. I'm curious look at myself. I'm going to have to go watch those videos because I can't do that.
No. Like, no. What did I do the other day? I did a lot of people in the French community were asking me, we need expert Hulk videos. And then again, going up against scenarios, I was showing them I was Hulk. I was Banner. I call it my deck Banner Justice, where basically I'm basically Bruce Banner half the time and just controlling threat. And people are just watching my game going like, what? And it's just how you build your deck as well. It's like, look, Hulk has difficulty with that aspect. So, or that area of the game. Now, a lot of people focus on damage. I'm like, what do I focus on? Establishing a board presence, which is something I think you relate to, Peter. You like having lots of cards.
I do.
If you look at a character like Hawkeye, like Scarlet Witch, like the Quicksilver, like Wasp, these are characters that are very event-driven. Even Ms. Marvel, a lot of these characters that are event-driven, you want to look at them as, okay, I want to focus on my signature events rather than focusing on like just putting tons of events that, you know, are going to be helpful. So that's where I think a lot of the difference in power level kind of goes because, okay, well, and any character that has access to status effects is going to be way more powerful than somebody that doesn't because it just gives you turns.
So I'm going to have you comment on the aspects. I actually want to ask Dale a different question. Dale, so I noticed you do solo plays and you do two-handed plays. And what do you notice in the difference of that? Because I really feel like something that's interesting about the community with this game is that since we are all stuck at home and at best we're playing two-player games or two-handed games, I've seen a couple pictures of people playing four-handed games, but it's like they're leaving them there all day. Forget it. It's more like an achievement at that point. But I think, you know, the people would have a whole different impression of this game if they were playing three and four player at their local stores regularly.
Yes.
So Dale, what do you notice about playing solo versus two-handed?
I mean, when it comes to power level, I think there are definitely some heroes that do better solo than others. Like Steve mentioned, Hulk, the normal person playing him solo versus a lot of other villains, he's going to be difficult. Where others, you can bring in Doctor Strange, think he can play any aspect solo against any villain and come out easily. But then again, playing against Rhino, one bad turn, he can take you out solo because you only have seven threat you can get built up. So, I mean, one of my times, I mean, when I first started playing, I didn't record. I'd practice a little bit. And one time I wish I had the camera on because I lost first turn. I think it was.
I did too. I lost first turn the other day with Thor against who starts with all the events in play or with where you have like two cards in front of you. That's
Claw,
Green Goblin, Mutagen.
It was Goblin Mutagen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I lost first turn. Two of those draws were attack events. I went from 14 health to no health on one turn. I was like, wow, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the challenges of playing solo. Those things can happen, and two player or higher, it's rare that that's going to happen. You're going to learn turn one. So, I mean, those are some things I look at in the builds. And like yesterday, I was playing a three-player game, and we were playing, I think, Goblin Mutagen formula. And like I said, was that the one where you've got to flip him over several times?
That's Norman Osborn.
Risky
Business.
Yeah, we're playing that one where every time he flipped, I mean, he did four damage. So, I mean, that's a totally different game too because you're looking around the table going, oh, crap, you don't have any allies and you're at three health. I can't attack this turn. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, there's different ways to play with different numbers of players. So, and that's another part that I like about the game. I can sit at home and play it solo or two-handed, and I'm going to look at Rhino or Claw or Green Goblin. I'm thinking one strategy, but when I get in a three or four player game, strategy totally changed.
So yep, absolutely.
Like that's another strength to the game.
Do you notice that you make more mistakes when you're playing two-handed? I noticed that when I play two-handed.
I play with well, I record with an iPhone and it's literally right here in my face. So a lot of me recording and making mistakes is, am I looking through the camera? Am I looking around? Did the camera focus? But yeah, two-handed, especially with these new heroes, they've got so many things going on. Like with Wasp, I miss her abilities half the time because when she takes out a scheme or a minion, I'll forget to do the damage. But yeah, mistakes happen. And that's another good thing about the community is they understand that. I'm just a regular guy playing a game at home. It's just our videos are there for everyone to judge. And yeah, it's a great way to learn the game too, because then when I get in a game group, people are like, you sure that's the way this works? And I'm like, I'm sure this is the way it works.
Yeah, they pointed it out to me several times.
A few times. Yeah, awesome. I was playing that Hawkeye through the gauntlet the other just yesterday. And I played my first two games and I forgot that his bow gave him +1 to attack. So I was playing with 2 attack the whole time, not even 3. And I was like, when I got to the third game, I read his bow. I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have been doing 3 damage this whole time. Like, oh well, game 3, now we've got it. Let's go.
So what do you feel about the different aspects? You were saying you tend to avoid leadership.
Yeah,
is that a playstyle thing or a power level? What's your thoughts there?
For me, it's a power level thing because I don't want to... This is true for me with a lot of games. You know, you were talking about asymmetric games. And by the way, I love all the games you mentioned, especially Gaia Project. It's my number one solo game. Well, maybe not now. Maybe it's Marvel Champions, but yeah, love all those games. But so it's interesting because leadership to me is kind of makes the difficulty a little bit easier. And by doing that, that means now I have to pump up the enemies as well. And so now you're dealing with a lot more stuff going on. You talk about making mistakes. I find it easier to make mistakes the more stuff you add in, right? A game like Spirit Island, which is another one of my favorite co-ops of all time, even though it's a little easy where I play it, like level 1, level 2, you can go all the way up to like level 6. When you add each different level, it just increases the complexity. And for me, that takes me out of what I'm trying to do in the gameplay. And now it starts making it so I've got to pay attention to like way too many things at once. And that just doesn't work with the way my brain works. So for me, part of the reason I like to challenge myself and sometimes use maybe not the ideal decks is I don't want to push that difficulty so high where I've now have to push the enemy's difficulty so high, if that makes sense. Mm.
Did you, this is one thing that I like to do when because I know you like to build like fun decks. So I'll give you an example. I played a Wasp protection deck when she came out. And my strategy was using her new card, Perseverance. So I went and especially went up against Crossbone that has piercing. So, and I was using a control strategy. And basically when you flip, you get to give yourself a tough, but as long as Crossbone has weapons, he's going to pierce you. So that's
yep,
going to
so
make
it doesn't matter. Yep.
So the whole strategy was just this. I am going to be flipping down. It's going to be more difficult because his threshold for threat is super low. So if I do decide to flip down, it has to be really worth it. And yeah. I have no confuse. I don't put any stuns. So how I was doing this is basically I'm going to just disarm you. I'm just going to make sure I disarm you so my strategy can work. And then at yep. one point he went from no weapons to having 5 weapons. And then 2 turns later, I had completely disarmed him. And it just worked. And I'm like showing the people, like, look, if you stick to your guns, which is funny because
he doesn't have guns.
If you stick to the strategy that you're going into, there is nothing that's impossible. Don't say that your character can't do this. Use what you have. Like, don't complain about what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. And that will make this your experience of each character more unique and more fun. And that's my opinion. But again, yeah. I know it's not shared with a lot of one, not with everyone, but that's why I have I feel like I have a wider appreciation for every character in every aspect compared to, oh no, that's garbage. That's garbage. Like, why is it garbage?
Well, yeah, because you could literally build one leadership suite and attach it to every hero and play just fine. I actually did that when I first started, when the card pool was a lot more limited. I would just do that to try to get to learn the heroes a little bit better and, you know, challenge myself in other ways. But I found that I kept going back to the same cards. the nice part is the card pool is definitely expanded. I feel like the other aspects are, to get back to the original question, I feel like the aspects are really starting to round into form. You're starting to be able to get rid of some threat with aggression, which was certainly one of its biggest weaknesses solo. And now
protection too. Now bait and switch, right? Baby.
Yeah, but even with Scarlet Witch deck, you're starting to be able to do some decent damage in a Justice deck, which is great, right? So now, and I don't think they're doing it a way that crosses boundaries. I think Justice still is known for getting rid of threat, right? I mean, it still does that better than anybody else. But the fact that it adds a little bit of damage there also, so my games don't have to take 5 hours playing a solo game, is great, where I don't have to just count on my hero-specific cards. I can also get some Justice cards in there that will help me burn them down, but it's all tied still to me thwarting, right? Because if I don't thwart, like a lot of those new cards that do damage, they're adding threat to the schemes, right? So I still need that extra aspect of Justice to get rid of that threat, but it just lets me do it in kind of a Justice way. So I like how the other aspects are rounding out. My favorite is protection. I don't know why I always go to it. Even Hawkeye, I play protection. So for me, I don't know why I keep going back to it. It doesn't always work, but I still love it anyway, because it doesn't do anything particularly well, I guess, except for defending, obviously, but playing solo, I don't know. It's not like it helps you with your threat mitigation. It does not like it helps you do damage. So it just makes the games take longer, but I still love it. I don't know why.
Did you find yourself disliking protection at first until you actually gave it a shot and actually tried playing it?
Protection for me has become a two aspect in its own, like, because there's defending protection where you're just trying to block all the damage that comes in, stop what they're doing. And then there's the healing protection also, where there are some games where I never defend, even if I'm playing protection. And I just use things like Med Team and things like
Second Wind.
And all those things to just heal myself up and keep myself from having to flip over as much. So that way I can do all the hero-y things I want to do and not have to worry about it. I like protection because it keeps me on my hero side longer.
I'll invite you to look at my breakdown of these strategies, because I found actually there's a few different strategies I think I found four different strategies for protection, like main lines, of course. And even in leadership, I found, I think, four or five different ways to play leadership differently now. So it's pretty, pretty fun. Like I invite you to go check it out there, and I break it down and I actually play these games showing people what these strategies look like in real play, like two players. So I actually play both of the strategies, or kind of mix match a little bit of both strategies. So you can see, like, this is the strategy for this guy, and I'm going to be playing this type and this type. And for this guy, it's going to be this type and this type of strategy. And then you see the difference, how these games are played. And it just, I think that's what I like about it. And it really helps a lot of people, like, understanding, like, oh, wow, it's just not putting allies in. There's more than just putting allies in. It's not just that. There's actually, you can go further than that.
Nice. I want to move to some community questions in a minute here. I just have one more question for Dale. Dale, what aspects do you find yourself, like, gravitating towards when you're building decks? Or are there cards that you find yourself gravitating towards? What are some of your favorites?
I tend to go aggression and justice are the two I go to. Like, another reason why I'm going, I like doing the pre-con decks first is so I can learn how different things. So like Quicksilver, initially I would have never thought protection with him, but now I can't imagine playing him without protection.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, and that's another thing too. When the aspects first came out, like someone said, they were very geared. There's one way to play this aspect. Whereas now, like I said, I can go into each aspect and get three different ways to use them depending on what I want to get done. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, aggression, I mean, that's your main goal, to beat down the villain. But like Steve was saying too, sometimes you got to play a longer game, and aggression, I might have to, yes, my instinct wants to go that direction, but I'll pull in justice or leadership or something else.
Yeah, it's neat though how aggression now feels like it has like a suite or a kit of different things, right? like into the fray as like, oh, I want to beat the minion and then remove threat by doing that, or you'll pay for that is how I can remove threat. I'll take a punch. And that feels aggressive without making a card that says like, you do 30 damage, you know, like you just win. Like you punch so hard because they're trying to avoid some of that, but they give you kind of the other things you can do, but they're still thematic to that aspect, which I think is neat. So since we're talking about aspect cards,
another thing they're doing with
go for it.
But just like to, another thing I'm starting to do with aggression now too is make it a protection deck. I mean, they've bringing in Hulk and who's the other Hulk that's got 5 health when you attack with him for one? Braun. I'll bring in people like that and just have them defend against the little guys, not even attack with them, so I can do other things, just leaving the room open. So it's just neat how the different ways to get them to go.
So Guy asked on the Facebook page here, is there an aspect card that you would change to a different aspect? Like a card that you wish was in another aspect?
Great Responsibility.
Which one's that?
Okay.
Zero-cost Spider-Man card.
Cancel Threat?
Cancel Threat. I think that is the one card I think I would have liked to see that in Protection. Take it as damage instead. I think it feels more protective than just the seat.
I think something like the Sky Cycle would have been nice if they had like an attachment for allies that was in aggression, right? It's like kind of like go again, push harder. It would have been good if it wasn't just a leadership thing that's focused on allies. I think that would have helped as any ally attachments that they could have put in other aspects than leadership.
Well, I was thinking the one where you exhaust all your Avengers to draw cards. I kind of wish that was a neutral one and cost more. for a lot of times makes, you know, not only do you get the cheapest allies in leadership, but then you can also get a huge card draw. I just feel like that would balance it out a little bit with the other aspects.
Yeah, the ally resource. I call that the ally resource strategy. I actually have a Hulk deck. My friends are money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me, I just want Spider-Man to share Aunt May. I know that's not the question you wanted.
That's good. That was actually something we never got to get around. That was something we never got to do on our channel, but Larry had the idea of doing like, what if Cap was Endgame Cap and he had, you know, Mjolnir, he had the hammer. So he built a deck where he broke the rules, you know, and then he made an Iron Spider where Spider-Man gets the iron suit. And we were supposed to play that, and he ran into all sorts of problems with work, and we never got to do that stream. But I thought that was a neat thing. I mean, in some sense, if you start opening that up, you could kind of break the game and making things too powerful. But if you're just thinking about it thematically, it would just be fun to do, right?
I mean, I figure all that stuff's coming, right? Like, eventually, they're going to have more than one version of each of these heroes at some point when you run out of kind of main heroes. They start selling these secondary and tertiary heroes, and nobody's buying them anymore. They're going to go back to, like, the main ones and make different versions of them. They almost have to.
Yeah. Or the community
they did
will.
It in Legendary. Yeah,
they did it with Legendary. One of the things that I think would be a cool idea if they would do is, and they're already doing it, some of it in the community, in the promo kits, is give us signature versions of Genius, Strength, and Energy. They already started doing it, but have an actual card for that. Or having like the villain kit, you know, instead of giving us more cards, because we already have a wide card pool and it's just gonna grow. But something that would be cool is if you had a villain standard set. Because I saw some community members do that, and that would be super cool of the other content creators that make custom stuff. And if they make like there's a standard rhino set where it's all like advance is a rhino, something with a rhino picture, and then caught off guard is something with a rhino picture as well. And I think that would be kind of cool to get like every villain has their own standard set, and then you play with those, and you're like, ooh, look at that! It's all the rhino on the art. But again, that's probably like 10 years in the future. And then that would be cool if they would introduce that. Not only that, but that would also make people want to buy the new pack. So let's say you get a Jessica Jones hero where people are just like, yeah, I don't know about this character. And then she comes in with like, oh, look, she's got like ooh, the Spider-Man energy cards. I'm like, ooh, I want those cards for my Spider-Man deck. So I'm like, yeah, I'll buy that. Right. I'm trying to pitch something because I know Evans, I forget his name, the Evans, the guy, he was marketing guy.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I could pitch that to FFG and try to get a marketing job there.
Nice.
But that'd be cool. Like just trying to find ways to excite the community into buying the products. Because if you look at the shelves, and I see that in my local game store, Captain America is almost always sold out. But you look at characters like Ms. Marvel or Hulk, there's still like, there's tons of them. So, and which is why, because Hulk got a really bad reputation of being a bad character that people aren't going to buy him. And then I think that's a shame because I think he's super fun to play, but.
Well, I think that's okay too. And here's why. So now I'm going to put on my game designer hat. It pushes you as a game designer to make better stuff, right? If you put out a product that's not good enough, people shouldn't have to buy it and shouldn't feel obligated because it's, you know, part of this series that they've been buying all of. I bought everything myself personally, of course, but I think if they start putting out bad hero after bad hero or bad villain after bad villain, I think it's okay for the community to go, you know what? We've got enough stuff. We don't need that other stuff. And that will make the game designers have to work harder, right? And to be more creative and to come up with better stuff. So even as a game designer, someone, you know, who wants people to make good stuff and wants you to buy all your stuff, I do think there is an aspect of it that's like, no, you can't just throw whatever you want or just, yeah, I mean, I like the idea of alt art stuff, but I don't want them to just say, well, this is the same card with alternate art and I want you to buy it because of that. No, I want you to make good stuff that's entertaining for me to play and then I'm going to buy all your stuff.
So from right now, from what you've seen, like as a game designer, is there a character that you feel has a poor game design mechanic that doesn't feel thematic as of yet?
I there are characters I like less than others. We never got into that, but certainly Thor and Miss Marvel for me are two I just don't know how to play. I've tried. I can't get them. So I know everybody loves Miss Marvel. I get it. I can't do it. I don't know what it is. And Terrence,
well,
who I play
like
with,
you
all
don't
the
like
time?
To flip, and she wants to flip every turn.
Yeah,
like she basically has to because all of her card draw resource generation is on her alter ego side. She goes home, and all her personas, which are all her family and friends, they help her out. And if you don't want to flip, if you're more hesitant, she doesn't work. Plus, she heals for a ton on that side. So she takes damage, but then she heals for a whole bunch.
Which I find funny, Peter, because you said you like Black Widow, which operates in a similar fashion.
Yeah, that's funny. She can stay on her hero side, though.
I get it. I totally get it. It's like one of those mental blocks, you know, you have those sometimes with certain things. I don't know why. And it's one of those things where I haven't really played her a lot either, right? You play them a couple times. You play them a couple times and it's like, wow, I just don't get it. And then I moved on. I didn't do that with Thor, ironically. I keep coming back to Thor and keep getting my face smashed in. I don't know why, and I can't figure it out, and I can't figure him out.
Thor videos.
Yeah, I was the same way with Thor, too. At first, I was like, 4 card draw, and then I found out after playing him, I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting 8 cards a turn every other turn with him. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, those turns are great, and then you have to deal with a bunch of stuff to get that, though.
Yeah, the one for me is Black Panther. I mean, I know when he first came out, everyone loved him. I still just don't like playing with him. To me, it seems like I always start with the Wakanda Forevers and never get the upgrades. And then at the end of the round, it just never worked. But
there is certain characters that I find are weird in certain aspects, just because I feel like they kind of anti-synergize with what the aspect is trying to do. And I found a lot, but in the core set, me as well, Black Panther, I feel like if I can eliminate everything from his deck and just have those Wakanda Forevers, I'm laughing. I'm all the way to the bank, easy, easy victory all the time, because that's what I do. I dilute his deck.
Yep.
I put all these 0-cost, 1-cost upgrades. He's got tons of money, bah, 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 bah. And then within 2 rounds, I have... my deck is down to like 20 cards and it's Wakanda forever. That's it. That's the secret with this guy. Just like get rid of his stuff get rid of the, just don't, just put garbage in your deck and just like, and then just work on it forever, forever.
So Steve, yeah. You alluded to a question that Eric had on the Facebook thing here. So Eric asked, which aspect with which hero do you find to be the most challenging? So maybe of the ones you enjoy playing, as opposed to focusing on, you know, I don't right. like this character, blah, blah, blah. But what ones? Now, for me, I enjoy the puzzle. Like Steve has done these things where it's like a listener challenge or whatever. Help a friend, right? Is that what you call
help
it?
Help a friend challenge.
And somebody will say, oh, I'm playing, what did we do? Hawkeye Protection and Miss Marvel Justice against Expert Ultron?
Something like
and
that.
There's like 2.5
hours. Oh, I
hours.
Love Hawkeye Protection.
Or something. And so, you know, when I was talking to Larry, he's like, well, why would you play Hawkeye Protection? Just play Captain America Protection, right? It's like some people don't want to put certain things together, but what ones do you find that you struggle with more? What combinations? What do you got, Dale?
I talked to Dale. Let's go with you.
Combinations. I don't have problems with leadership. I just don't play it much because I feel like I build it the same way every time. I think Steve mentioned it too. The only way I build it is to where I'm drawing 10 cards a turn. And it, I just like to vary my decks more than that. So it doesn't matter what hero, I tend to stay away from that one.
So. Nice.
So leadership is the aspect you find the most challenging to build?
I won't say challenging. It's just the one I stay away from. I guess.
Boring.
Least interesting.
Yeah.
Least yes. interesting. Better word.
Yes.
What do you got, Peter? What do you think? What have maybe just of the ones you've been playing or streaming?
Yeah, no, Justice is always kind of interesting for me. I that's why I'm so excited by this new Scarlet Witch stuff, where Justice can actually do some damage. Because I tend to try to pair Justice with heroes that do a lot of damage. But you know, having somebody that's mostly Justice, how do you then end the game, right? So I think that's a harder swing for me, is figuring out, okay, how do I put Justice with somebody who also likes to thwart and still make it an interesting game and make it less than like 6 hours?
I don't know how you're playing. So I'll just give you a quick Miss Marvel card combo here. So multitasking, Sense of Justice, and their polymorph suit. So for one, okay, and then she has the shrink. Let's say she's built up, she's got their shrink or ambigen. So for one resource, you play multitasking using her Sense of Justice. Remove two threat. You shrink that. It's removed four threat. You have Turn the Tide for zero. And then ambigen for zero. You do 5 damage to the villain. Bring back that Turn the Tide and do another 3 damage. So 8 damage and 8 threat for 2 cards.
Yeah, seems good.
That's
insane. She's insane. She's insane. She's so good.
She's a big fan.
She's so good. She's so good.
All right, so here's our last question that we'll go around and we'll kind of wrap up here. So which ally would you like to see in the game? Like design an ally, or who would you like to see in the game, I guess specifically as an ally?
The Punisher. Nice. I think I would like to see a Punisher aggression, 3 damage piercing ally, just like 2 health, or that's it. Like 2 health, not making, like cost of 4, 3 damage.
Comes in big damage and then leaves kind of thing.
Exactly. Just like, brah, like with his machine gun and a trigger or something like that, that would like flip the encounter. Something cool that would go, na-na-na-na-na, and feel like really big with piercing. Something I think would be super fun. Punisher, baby. So good.
I like that.
How about you, Dale?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Like, I want to see the X-Men. So
yeah.
When it comes
all
to
of them.
In more Avengers. Yeah.
All the X-Men. I'd like to see Hawkeye's, like, his evil side. What's his alter ego called? Ronin? Yeah, I'd like to see... Wait, Ronin is.
There is a Ronin ally. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I didn't realize that was Hawkeye.
You're not playing leadership enough.
That's right. I don't play leadership very often. That's right. All right, never mind. Then I'm drawing a blank, too. How about Rambo?
Monica Lieutenant Photon.
She's in, too?
No, she's not there. Monica Rambeau. That's who you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
I think she goes by Photon or Spectrum. She's got a bunch of names. You've been watching WandaVision.
I might have been. I don't want to spoil anything, but but even on her human side, right? I'd like to even see more S.H.I.E.L.D. agents come in, even on their human side and do things like Roger Wu, speaking of WandaVision, let's bring him in, have some fun with him as well. Not everybody has to be a superhero in these things, right? They can come in and help maybe take care of the threat or whatever, help clear some civilians out, something like that. I'd be all right with that.
You want a Nick Fury hero with more allies with him.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. troops, yeah. Gun, what's his name? Dum-Dum. Who are the really cool, the cool S.H.I.E.L.D. characters that you see in the movies there? There's
any of those. Oh, yeah, or even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I finally saw that this summer. But thank you, COVID. That gave me some time to catch up.
Quake is one.
Quake's in there. She would have definitely been near the top of my list for somebody I would have wanted to see. But and they have Coulson too.
And Coulson, yeah. Those are the kind of the two mains.
Maria Hill.
Yo-Yo. Yeah, so, there's a lot of place they could go. They have stuck with the Avengers so far, but, you can't kind of blame them, right? Like, that's where all the MCU is. That's where a lot of the fans are right now. So I'm sure they will get to all this other stuff eventually. But I'd like to see more like Joe Schmoes. I think that's part of the reason I like, Black Widow and Hawkeye. It's like, you got these people with superpowers and then you got, them sitting there just shooting a bow, right?
So I may have loaded this one up a little bit for me because Larry had an amazing answer for this that we said on the stream the other day. He's dead on. And even if it was, I was even thinking it'd be amazing promo, but they should just make what you were even saying, just a generic S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Like say a 2-cost 1-1-2 or something like that. They could give it abilities, whatever they want to figure out, but a cheaper one. And all it says for its text is at the start of the game, you can replace your signature ally with this character. And the reason being for those games where you're playing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and they're in each other's decks. And now you could just put this card in so you don't have that dead card. I think would just be a really, really simple fix. Plus, it would be an awesome promo for people to want to get, right? Like,
absolutely.
So I think that would just be a cool way to do that. It's not, I think they can't make the card too powerful. It almost has to be weaker than your signature ally, but hey, you could put it in there, so that if you're playing with people. Yeah.
Well, so far, there's also only like four characters that have that problem.
That crossover, right.
There's only four, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, it would just be a neat. Maybe they better and they give it abilities. Maybe it's 3-cost and it's a 1-2, whatever. But I just think it would be neat if it was something I don't know.
There's actually 6 characters. I forgot that Captain Marvel and Scarlet and what's her face there? Spider-Woman.
Yeah,
we're Spider-Woman.
And then the twins.
Like
and then
the idea you all had of instead of doing heroic the way we've done it is change out the standard and expert cards and take those 10 cards and make them more powerful instead of just doing the extra encounter card. I thought that was a good idea you and Larry had.
Yeah, that's a big push that he has. He wants to see those cards up their difficulty instead of, because the 2-card heroic is fun for a while in terms of like, ooh, I want it to be harder, but eventually that random factor really kicks in.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that because we played Rhino Heroic 3 and it took us 100 plays and we beat it. It was 100. And sometimes the games were literally 3 minutes. Like you lose turn one because he just charge. You just attacks 3 times and you're dead. Yep. You're like, okay, reshuffle. Here we go. Let's try it again. So heroic just kind of gets to be more of a, are you willing to play for a while?
Yep.
Whether it be over and over again or a long game.
Yeah, because you're dealing with 6 encounter cards. The heroic 2, no, that's 8 encounter cards a turn. That's basically half the deck goes away. So you get an acceleration every turn. And when your deck runs out, then you're dealing with 10 encounter cards for that turn. It's almost just crazy.
We didn't run our decks out. So it was She-Hulk and Captain Marvel because they have the strongest push.
Yeah.
Damage. They could just push the most damage out on turn one consistently. So we would try to either flip him or get close to flipping him and then turn two flip. But then there's that stinking stun tough. Anyway, it's a whole thing, but it's, you know, it's a whole game theory craft to figure it out. So it's more like a puzzle to figure out than a thing to be done. The playing of it is boring. The figuring it out is the fun part.
Yeah, no, I've seen some custom stuff and I haven't played with it on TTS where every villain has their own environment card. I think it could be as simple as that, where yeah. It changes the rules of the game just a little bit. And I haven't played with any of that yet, but I certainly look forward to doing it at some point. And it's just a small rules change that really makes a big impact and a big difference. And just makes each, and you could have two or three per villain and make it varied, right? I mean, you want to talk about varying the game up a lot, make three environments for each villain. And that way you could play, you know, you randomly shuffle it up. You play, this time I'm playing Rhino where he's robbing a bank. This time I'm playing Rhino where he's, you know, tearing down something else or whatever, yeah. You know, make the environment a part of it with just one card would be
that
awesome.
That custom content there. If you look at Kennedy Hawk, I think it's on Marvel Champions Monthly. And they guys had, this is a fantastic, and me and Kennedy and another friend are actually running his gauntlet, which is like the return of the Rhino, return of, and it's actually really fun. So, you know, it's actually Rhino and Bomb Scare, but holy smokes, with those extra encounter cards or those extra cards that up the difficulty, like that Bomb Scare was just like exploding like half the time. Like it was... Wow. Okay. So it was almost going off like every other turn. There was a bomb exploding. So it really added some nice level of difficulty. I was playing Miss Marvel, so it was really too easy. But no, it's super fun. Like I said, we're going to be attacking Claw tonight. There, we're going to be doing our third game in the thing, and it's pretty fun. And there's like a campaign, and you go through the return of all of these characters, which I love. It's been really, really fun. So big shout out to him for that. It was very
cool. Awesome. I didn't realize he called it Running the Gauntlet. I might have to change the name of my segment now.
But he does have something like that where
he
called something like that Running the Gauntlet, where basically you're using one deck against everything.
Now, let me ask you guys just one question about villains. Because I do think there are a couple of villains that aren't up to snuff with the rest. You know, we talked about our aspects and, you know, that's the coolest part of the game. But I do think there are a couple of villains that are just not as fun to play against. And I want to ask you guys if you play them at all or what you do when you play them. And I'm thinking specifically about Wrecking Crew and I'm thinking about Goblin One.
Mutagen?
Is Mutagen Goblin
One? Risky Business.
I think Mutagen's great. That's one of my favorite scenarios.
Because it's very challenging. It comes at you so many ways. I think one of the fun things I've been having with Wrecking Crew, I don't know if you saw these, I actually played a one person and I gave him quadruple life. So it was basically one versus four, like a four player health, and tried to see if I could take them down. But again, it wouldn't work with every character. I did a really crazy Spider-Woman She-Hulk deck. It was leadership or protection? I forget what it was, but basically she had all the upgrades with teamwork, and I was punching for like 25 every other turn. Like, so even with their like 70 health, it was like 260 damage. It took me about an hour and I got there. It took like two tries, but it was super fun and like doubled their HP. That's what I've been doing in solo. The thing is with Wrecking Crew, if you're playing in solo, it's easy. As soon as you go four-player Wrecking Crew, me and Brandt have done it, and it is not a same game. It is very, very different.
So they become harder the more players you have. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because their health is so high.
Okay.
Yeah. The solo, and again, that's part of what's happened, right? We're all playing the game. Basically, initially, you're playing solo, most of us, right? Maybe two player at best. So you're getting these initial reactions of these things where it's like, oh, Wrecking Crew, I just do a bunch of damage and then they're dead. And I don't trigger all these things. But when you can't take one down for a while and you've got all four knocking on the door, it's a lot tougher. So they're
I've done A then B, which is, I guess, a similar way of doing it. Yep. Except, so I've done where you have to beat the A card, then the B card. I think that was even in the original rules.
Yeah,
That you could do it that way. But I never tried just doubling or tripling the health.
I do double B side normally. What I do is I twice on the B side. So I doubled their health on the B side. That's normally my solo rule for that. Right,
how about you, Dale? You got anything you do for either of those scenarios?
No, I'm like you with the Wrecking Crew. I don't like games to go longer than they need to be. So to me, the Wrecking Crew playing it solo, I'm fine the way it is. It's just a different way to play. But like the others mentioned, when I'm playing it three or four people, yeah, it's a totally new game and they become quite a challenge.
Well, that's good to know. I'll have to play it more higher player count.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of the games, if I'm playing pre-constructed first time, I mean, what I'm doing now is I open a pre-constructed deck. I'm going up against something easy so I can learn, because I'm trying to learn the cards myself and try to figure out, wait, how's this thing work? So I like to play them against an easier Rhino, Absorbing Man, or Wrecking Crew, and then work my way up the chain. So yeah, to me, we've got our three starter villains. And that's another great thing about the game. We can change the complexity by changing the villains, and you can also up that by changing the modular stacks you put in there with those villains. So
yeah, Crew Fanatic's fun crazy. To add in.
Yeah.
So, and to answer the other one, the reason why everyone feels like Norman Osborn is easy is because if everyone flips into hero form, he's just adding infamy counters. And there's only two cards that interact with that. And then, okay, well then let's just build up. We're just laughing. He can put 50 cards on there and we don't care. And then as soon as we're ready, everyone is doing like 40, 50, 60, pushing 70 damage. Then we flip him. And then the next turn he's gone. And then we're not dealing with that. Now, what I like to do is like, I flip the goblin and then you try to keep him in goblin form, like right from the get go. And then it's a different ball game. And then that no damage game that I played was against him. And that is challenging.
Yeah. I would say the other thing very simply you could do with him is if you made some limit to those infamy counters. So like a new loss condition would be if he has six infamy counters per player. So suddenly you have to get rid of those and you have to flip him. You know, otherwise the Norman Osborn, Oscorp takes over or something. You know what I mean? You could make some threshold, but they didn't. So since there's an unlimited threshold, you could basically just say, stack them up till you're built up, you know, and go from that. So,
yeah, but I think for that, you can always just like punch him once or twice and then be like, well, whatever. I can still, it's very manageable.
Yeah.
Just keeping in that like to like one or two.
The way we do it is that you cannot thwart when he's on his Norman Osborn side. You cannot remove any threat from the main scheme while he's on that side. That's so we just treat it as if it's got an exclamation point on it. As soon as it flips over, then he's normal. Makes it a little bit more difficult. I don't think it's quite to the difficulty it needs to be still. I think he actually needs to flip more to make it more interesting. But I will tell you, you don't sit there with him on his Norman Osborn side for long. You just can't. I mean, the threat builds up too quickly if you do it. So
he's
I mean,
a pretty fun heroic one as well, because Green Goblin kind of thematically is fun if he's throwing all sorts of things at you. Like, oh, you are getting two cards a turn and they're not that bad, but you have to deal with them. So he makes a fun heroic character.
Yeah, I normally play him heroic too. Like,
there you go.
And then, and you can still, like, I played a game where it was called the Battle of the Billionaires. So basically I had Iron Man Protection versus him, heroic two. Or
is
Iron
everybody
Man
Iron Man Protection? I feel like Iron Man Protection's a thing. Just because it gets him his tech upgrades so quick that he doesn't have to flip after that.
I have a deck where you're ready to go on to hero form on turn one, and you never look back. And it's crazy. It's crazy good.
Well, and I'm playing Red Skull with him, and I forgot your first upgrade's a tech upgrade. So that's what we're playing through on Friday. So you get that tech upgrade, plus I built him protection. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't have to worry too much about flipping to my Tony Stark side. That's for sure.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up here. But I actually have one more question that I think will be exciting. And I'm going to answer first because I am so incredibly excited for 3 weeks or whatever it is from now. As many people know, oh yeah, Lock and Load, baby. Rocket Raccoon is my favorite superhero. And I cannot wait for Galaxy's Most Wanted. And I will find every excuse to play Rocket Raccoon every time I can, because thematically, that is my favorite superhero.
He's so up there for me too.
I am super excited to be him. Larry's already like, well, I guess I know that I'm playing Groot for a while. And I was like, yes, you are. So that is something I'm looking forward to. What are people looking forward to, whether it's announced or unannounced? What do you think will be an exciting hero or villain that you're hoping to play as or against? Go ahead, Peter.
I mean, come on, we got to fight Thanos, right? Let's bring him down.
Yeah, how do you do that?
I am super excited about the Guardians pack for sure. No question about it. But I'm hoping the next one afterward is going to be some kind of a Thanos with the, what do they call, the Black Order or like his buddies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What are they all called?
I forget what they're known. I forget their names.
Yeah. Whatever they're called as, like, I just want to play against them, right? Have to fight your way through them to get to Thanos and, stop him from snapping his fingers.
I think it's the Black Order. I'm pretty sure it's the Black Order. I just forget the names of the characters.
Yeah, there's a husband and wife.
Ebony
there.
Maw. Ebony Maw is one.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that's the magic guy there who's got the, who wraps up Doctor Strange.
And I forget. Yeah, I think there's zero chance that we don't get that, so I'm not. I don't think I'm stretching awesome. Too far here to hope that that's going to be next after Galaxy's Most Wanted. I think that's probably what it's going to be, but I mean, I don't know. I would have thought it would have been earlier than it is. Even
nice. What are you excited for, Dale?
Well, I kind of alluded to it, X-Men, but yeah, like he mentioned, bringing Thanos out, another campaign pack with him would be sweet. Just looking at what they have for the Guardians of the Galaxy, I know you like Rocket. Groot, my group's going to have a fun with him just because all of his cards are I am Groot. Playing that. And then Gamora looks awesome. But yeah, ultimately, I think the X-Men with my group are bringing more people with that group than what I'm getting in with Avengers. And of course, Magneto, he's my favorite villain. So. Yeah. I want him in the game.
Would you like him as a hero? Because Joseph,
right. Yes, I would.
Also been a hero, so he's been both sides. Yes. Of the phone, so
if I could play him, Magneto, like I said, that's my favorite.
I think I'm most curious about Star-Lord. I think I think all these get yourself extra encounter cards to draw more cards. I'm gonna be like, I don't know how much I really want to tap into that ability.
I feel like we all are.
I'm like,
That is a great Peter Quill theme, though, to say, you could just push, and just make a mess of things, right? I mean, I can't even tell you how many people are so mad at him, in Infinity War. Like, they had Thanos wrapped up, and it's all his fault. And I'm like, but they got his girlfriend.
Right.
Why? Like, it makes sense. He's mad. He's emotional. And they're like, oh, he's such an idiot.
I mean, I we haven't talked about her at all, but I just played Scarlet Witch for the first time today. So I'm going to say I love how she does that too, right? So there's definitely some extra flipping in her deck where it's like you're just taking cards off the villain deck over and over and over. And she could redraw them and her abilities all use the villain deck. And so it's like she really can push herself through that deck pretty quickly. And I mean, I know they built her Justice and she does have a lot of ways to deal with threat, but it's an interesting thing where you're going through the villain deck more often. I hadn't seen that before. And I really think that's a neat way of doing it.
One thing one thing I learned that I didn't know. So when you are revealing these boost cards, you actually have to resolve them one at a time. It's actually a little section in the rule books that, so at first, my first game, I was just taking 1, 2, 3, and then, okay, I'll push this one more or let, no. It's, you got to go one at a time. And if there's a star icon, you got to do what the star icon says first before you count. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of detailed rules.
There is a lot of little fine tuning on that. And that's one of the things I did in understand, like after I learned that, I went my understanding the mechanics and yeah, you kind of figure that it out and you're like, oh, okay, wow. Go back, brush up on the rules, content creator guy.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Dale.
I want to go to the rules real quick on Scarlet Witch. That'll help everyone else that hadn't gotten it. I don't have the deck yet. So I was thinking that same thing you were talking about. So when she flips her new cards out, do you ignore the boost abilities on that since you're counting the icons?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You just do icons on those. And when with her powers too, I believe you don't do this, the boost abilities, because they're not being used as a boost in that situation.
Right. Yeah. So a little on that. So the star icons actually count as a zero boost. So that's something to know. And let's say, because my first game with her precon, I played against Claw and Electro, which has tons of these star icons.
Yep.
Gotcha. Set yourself up for that.
Oh, man. I was just like, oh, was I doing that right? But so one of the things, if you do, let's say on the first card, you get a boost of three and a boost of three. And then you flip the second boost of three and you get a weapons runner. Well, the weapons runner will not come into play because it's you're past the
past that
reveal effect. Card. Okay. It's count the boost card. So that's like...
Yeah, count the boost icons. Yeah.
So I like, oh, good thing you told me. Is like, I didn't know.
I figured that out live on the stream because like I said, I try not to look at anything ahead of time. So I literally flipped it. I'm like, huh. I think this is what it means. I was like, this is how I'm going to play it. If anybody sees that any differently, let me know. But yeah, no, I was like trying to figure it out live on the stream. I'm like, I probably should have looked at this ahead of time, but I didn't look at, you know, again, I want natural reactions. So I was like, hold on a second. This is a little more complicated than any other hero I've seen so far, for sure. Oh, yeah.
And there is a lot of events in her deck, man. I was just like, but she goes through them so fast.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here. Thanks everybody for joining us. I'm gonna let you go around and just say who you are and plug your channels one more time. Anything you want people to be able to find you and whatnot. So we'll go Peter, Dale, Steve, go ahead around and let people know where they can find you.
All right. I'm Peter Gousis. You can find us at One Stop Co-op Shop. That's a podcast. We're approaching 200 episodes there. You can see us on our main YouTube channel or again, for our Marvel Champions stuff, One Stop Co-op Shop streamed. With a streamed at the end. Two YouTube channels and a podcast. Come find us.
I think Dale's, it's you.
I think Dale's frozen.
I think Dale froze.
Froze.
Oh, there he is.
Mine's frozen up. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
My screen froze up. Yes. Dale the Casual Gamer, like I said, I'm just on YouTube. Just search Dale the Casual Gamer and I'll pop up. Like I said, Marvel Champions and a whole lot of different games.
And my name's Steve. You can find me in my basement in Montreal. What? I missed you because you had a delay. So my name's Steve. You can find me in my basement in my house, or you can find me on YouTube in... on the channel, Beat the Game. Just look me up. I'm starting to pop up in searches now. Way, yay! So thanks for all the likes. And let's leave it back to you, Brett.
Awesome. And our channel is Step Into the Portal, because that's our store in Manchester, Connecticut. The Portal, if you're ever swinging through the Hartford area in Connecticut, come on by and stop and see us. Wear a mask. for sure. But you'll find Larry and I regularly streaming Marvel Champions on Thursday nights at 6 from the back room, where the others aren't allowed, but we're back there streaming. So thanks everybody. This has been episode 163, our Marvel Champions content creator panel. Thanks so much for listening. I am your host, The Brant, on behalf of Peter, Dale, and Steve. Until next time, I hope you step into the portal. Bye, everybody. Thanks so much. Have a good one.